This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And I did want to say, because of our last caller from Australia, Jeremy, he runs our TikTok channel. I did want to shout it out and tell listeners to go and, I guess it's follow us on TikTok at Free Talk Live. There's no underscores or anything at Free Talk Live. And he's making, his goal is to get us to 10,000 followers. So thanks so much. I really appreciate anybody spending the time to watch videos on there and even comment. Even the girl, he said, that asked me, oh, why isn't she mad at her husband for breaking a law instead of being mad at the system? Well, you know, I appreciate her even listening, and maybe like I've planted some seeds. Maybe Jeremy's helped to plant some seeds as well. So thank you so much to Jeremy. And yes, please follow us on TikTok at Free Talk Live. I'd also like to thank Carlos. Carlos is a platinum level amplifier. That means it's giving at least $25 a month to the AMPS program. And we're really grateful to him for that. So that means that Carlos went to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. It stands for Advertising, Marketing, Promoting, and Supporting Free Talk Live, and that helps us out a lot, so we are very grateful to all of our amplifiers. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com to find out how you can become a member and get some perks and benefits and support the show. With you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Riley.
And I wanted to talk a little more about this story. I find it really crazy to really look at the actual numbers of how many dollars in taxes you pay in a lifetime, and how much of your earnings go to someone else. It's no different than being a slave, even if it's only, what was it, 34% of your life?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, at what percent of your life are you not a slave? Is it 0? Is it 1? Is it 33? Is it 32?
Yeah. I mean, working for that, I think it was 34% of your dollars you make. So
yeah.
That
so
percent
essentially
of your life.
You're owned. You're a slave. You're pretty much a slave. And the reason why you have, you know, 60-some-odd percent freedom is because the tax-paying cattle work better when they have the illusion of freedom.
Yeah, the other thing I think is also the Second Amendment. Well, okay, I don't want to call it that. I don't want to say because of the Second Amendment. I want to say because of the gun culture in the United States. Like, they would be... they'd have a much harder time forcing us to do things now, because tons of Americans have guns, and tons of Americans have tons of guns, than they had in Australia. They had a super easy time telling them during COVID what to do, and like absolutely over the line crazy control. Like, nope, you can't get fast food from one city and bring it to another. No, you can't even leave your city and just, oh my God, some crazy stuff there.
You can't go swim in the ocean.
Wow, that's so crazy. Yeah, not that it was like great here or anything, but it would have been 10 times worse if we didn't have guns. But I also do agree with what you're saying, Riley, that one of the things that they do is give us somewhat of an illusion of freedom. And one of my friends, who's not a libertarian or anything, from Texas, kind of got into this conversation with him once where I was saying we're not really free in America, and he was like, it's worse here than in like a communist nation. And I was like, why? And he was like, because at least in like the communist nations, they're like just giving it to you straight. They're like telling you like you're owned by us, and you make like this illusion, this like lying is just so much worse. Like, people really believe that we don't live in like a communist nation, or like that our our politicians are our servants and they work for us, when in reality, no, we are completely victimized by these people, and they're parasites on the people who are actually productive in life.
Well, and your gun rights, they tell you which guns you can have, what kind of bullets you can have.
Right.
So that way you feel like you're secure until they roll up to your house with a Bearcat.
Yeah.
You and know, a machine gun.
And fully armored and, right.
I still think, like, when they're targeting one person, like, it's absolutely, it's not even going to work if you just try to shoot at them. But I still think that the all of the people having lots of guns makes it harder for them to just, you know, go out and force everybody to stay in their house and force everybody to do this and that.
I mean, they did that. The government to be more accountable too.
But they did, but they couldn't go as far as they did in other countries, like locking people in their apartments. Maybe. I really think that they just, I think that's a huge part of it. I'm not saying it's the only part. Like, some of it might be strategy. Like, they purposely didn't want to go too far.
I really hope it doesn't end up in America the way it did in Australia.
I think a lot of people are too scared to do anything back.
Yeah.
Like, to stand up for themselves.
That's true.
Well, when you abuse people so long and indoctrinate people so long and showing all these crime shows, they're going to think, oh, they're going to come after me.
Yeah, the other thing about it is it's like they wouldn't want to stand up. Like, tons of people legitimately were just like, I'm just doing what they tell me to do because it's the right thing to do. Why? Yeah. Because they told me to do it.
Don't want to cause any waves.
Yeah.
Just go along to get along.
So that's definitely a huge reason I wanted to come to New Hampshire, because there's a group of people coming here for something called the Free State Project, and I just don't want to be around the type of people anymore who just go along to get along, and, you know, my life is being destroyed under the boot of the United States government, those goons and killers and lunatics and thieves. And
despots.
All the people around me are just saying, like, well, just
go along to get along. It's just the way it is.
It's not a big deal.
We just got to vote for the right people, and hopefully they'll make it less. Hopefully we get beaten less by the slave masters.
Yeah, I can't deal with that kind of cuck mentality anymore.
I can't either. It's ridiculous. I'm not interested in being cucked by the state.
Right. So this article we were getting into in the last segment was telling us that one state, it ended up being New Jersey, pays $987,117 in a lifetime in taxes. And New Hampshire was sadly not far behind. It was like $766,000. It also has to do with like how much money you make. So like the average lifetime salary or earnings, at least in New Hampshire, are a lot higher than, I think, the highest in the country, if not like one of the like top three. Like, maybe Massachusetts is a bit higher. So anyways, let's look at these other stats they give us. It says, taxation is on many people's mind, given the looming April 15th federal tax deadline, because this was written on the 11th. Quote, around this time of year, everybody has this come to Jesus moment. Oh my God, does it make sense to stay? Oh, I guess they meant to write, oh my God. That's so weird that they wrote it like that. It's O-M-I-G-O-D. So, oh my God, does it make sense to stay in the state of California or the state of Connecticut or the state of New Jersey? Unquote. That's Katie Song, chief financial planner at Domain Money. The COVID-19 pandemic, aka the lockdowns by the government, allowed many workers to live far from their employers. Millions of Americans have migrated from state to state in the pandemic years, untethered from the office by the remote work boom. The number of people who moved between states rose from roughly 7.4 million in 2019 to 8.2 million. What does that mean? Moved between states. So just moved to one state to the other?
I'm guessing so, yeah.
So it went from 7.4 million to 8.2 million from 2019 to 2022. New Jersey, the state with the highest taxes in the self-financial report, lost the most residents to other states in 2023, according to the annual National Movers Study from United Van Lines. Wow, I think in 2020 it was California. And so now it's also people are like, you know what, we need to get out of New Jersey too. Probably because of a lot of the crap they're doing to people during the lockdowns, like taking their kids from them.
I mean, the government response was a terrifying response, and we saw what happened. I mean, they didn't march us off to a concentration camp. They just made home a prison cell for you. You can go out for a good time if you're a good boy or girl.
You could barely go out for a good time. Like, they had cops just walking around between tables at the gay bar I like to go to in San Antonio that normally I don't really sit at a table there. I'd be standing around talking to people. They forced you to sit at a table, wear the mask, so you sat down at the table. You couldn't stand at the bar to order. They had to come to you like a restaurant, which wasn't normal either. No karaoke. We're like, okay, let's get out of here. This is creepy. And there's like a cop, multiple cops patrolling this small bar, just like walking past your table. What else could that be for other than they want to get you used to control? Like, how do police walking past my table even help me in the situation?
They're
going to
shoot the germs.
Yeah, they're going to shoot the germs. They're going to shoot the COVID virus away with their magical badge guns.
They will taser the COVID virus if it comes from one table to the next.
That's just so, I mean, like, they might as well be just straight up advertising it like that, because how do you actually justify having cops in a gay bar just where people go to do karaoke and have fun?
COVID 2020.
So they can arrest someone if they sneeze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's absurd.
Yeah. COVID 2020 is, in my opinion, a warm-up act for the tyranny with which they want to inflict upon you.
Yeah, they
want to
see how many people were going to go along with it.
Hmm. And a lot of people chose to go along with it.
Yeah.
In the name of, oh, I got to take care of my neighbor. It's Jesus told me to love my neighbor. It's loving my neighbor to wear a mask. It's loving my neighbor to get a vaccine.
I love you, but stay 6 feet
away
from me.
Stay away from my body, government. How many times do we have to tell you this?
So I was looking up how many residents there are in New Jersey.
Hmm.
And there's 9.262 million people.
Wow.
In New Jersey. So times $900,000 per lifetime times $9.262 million. So like over 70 years. Mm-hmm. How much money is that? Do you think that the government in New Jersey needs that much money to run?
Probably not.
Probably
like,
not.
To build your roads and to run your schools? It doesn't need all that. Where is it going?
Slush funds.
Yeah.
Slush funds, of course.
And ton of it is going to the federal government.
Right. So, and then all these states are giving that money to the federal government. I don't know how anybody's okay with paying all of this money in and not seeing a problem here. Like, do you think that maybe your community got together, they would have to pay as much as they say you need to pay? Probably not.
And then if you ever try to actually utilize some of the perks and benefits you're supposed to be getting from
you don't get
taxes,
services from them. You get raped.
Yeah, seriously. It's like so complicated. It's way worse than it normally would be. We do have a caller on the line. One of my favorite callers. We have TJ the Spy from Colorado. TJ the Spy, what's on your mind?
TJ.
How's it going, Riley and Davani? Are you guys holding up?
Oh, dude, we're doing good for the most part.
Lori is here, too. I don't know if you met Lori while you were here.
No.
I haven't met Lori.
Hi.
What's on your mind, TJ?
I wanted to just call in and let you know that May 17th is the deadline for the Ian Freeman's appeal of his criminal conviction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was just like, people were asking me like what's going on with his appeal and what's going to happen. I said, well, they've enlarged extended the briefing filing deadline to May 17th. And then the government has 30 days to file a response. And then Ian has 30 days to file another response to their response. And then the government has 30 days to file a fourth and final response. So anyway, it looks like May, June, July, August. It looks like this will be going to oral argument sometime in August, unless there's more delays.
Yep. So I'm kind of excited, honestly, because sometime in May, I've been told Ian's lawyers will be filing their first paperwork for the appeal. I'm not really sure what this paperwork will be called, but they'll be filing.
It's called the principal brief.
Their principal brief. Wow, they have all these stupid names for this crap.
They do.
Yeah, there's the principal brief, there's the reply brief, there's the sir reply, and so like it's basically a two-round volley. So you got your one, two, like the response, and then you get like, well, what they forgot in the response is this, and then they get a fourth and final say, and then once they've done those two back and forth, then it's time for oral arguments.
All right.
And that's where we can go. We can actually go, you know, when they have that, we can actually go and hear the oral arguments, I think.
Oh, I was asking Ian that recently. He said he doesn't know for sure, but he'll find out for me. But definitely if they do, I want to go. Probably
I'd love to
record
as well.
I doubt they'll let you record. It's probably like a federal courthouse. I don't know if it's in Boston. Is that where it's going to be?
Yeah, the First Circuit Court of Appeals, wherever they're headquartered, I think they're in Boston. because they have jurisdiction over New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Maine.
Okay, well, hey, did you hear the question that a girl on TikTok asked about my situation with Ian?
No, I didn't. What was it?
So, a girl on TikTok, apparently, the man who runs our TikTok, his name is Jeremy West, he called in to say that a girl commented on TikTok and said, "Why is Bonnie mad at the system? Shouldn't she be mad at her husband for breaking a law?" And I want to know what that makes you, what do you think about that?
Well, you have to understand that Ian is on a mission from God to get Bitcoin in the hands of as many average Joes as possible.
Yeah.
And whenever you try and do something like that, you're going to get, you know, jail time. And I'd like to, you know, just take this moment to tell about the story of Paul and Silas in jail.
Okay.
And nothing, not even jail, could stop them from offering salvation to the prison guard when the earthquake came and the prison guard was about to kill himself because, oh my God, the prisoners escaped.
Yeah.
And Paul and Silas said, "We're still here." And the guard said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Paul and Silas said, "Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." And then that was the first convert or proselyte to the Christian church. And I just said, Ian's kind of like Paul and Silas in the fact that, you know, prison is not going to stop him from selling Bitcoin to the average Joe.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if he intends to keep selling Bitcoin, but he'll definitely keep proselytizing, you know, getting people to understand it. And that's another thing. Like, they've kind of created, like, something that can't be stopped in getting arrested. Like, I'm always telling people about Bitcoin. I've gotten, honestly, countless people at this point to be able to understand and use cryptocurrency, like I just talk about on the radio. And on top of that, just people in real life come to me today. I got somebody to download their first ever crypto wallet and sent them some. Like, I do it all the time.
Yeah.
That's so cool, Bonnie.
Thank you.
My response to the person who said, "Shouldn't you be mad at this, you know, your husband for breaking the law?" And say, "Well, he didn't break the law. He was a dupe, a patsy, a fall guy. You know, and we can go back and rehash about what could have, should have, would have been done. But the fact is, a jury of 12 has spoken, and whether we agree with it or not, you know, that's what, you know, they've said." And I kind of view it as, Ian, if he wants to donate the money so that all the scam victims can get their money back, I think that's a good thing. I just wish he didn't have to do it, because that 100 Bitcoin that he lost is a lot of money.
It sure is.
Yep, but
it's definitely a lot of money.
Divided it up among the people that lost a lot of money getting scammed by people other than Ian.
Yes.
But for some reason, the government said, "Well, somebody's got to help these old people.
Somebody's got to pay."
Yeah.
Somebody's got to pay. And Ian was the one that was, you know, his name was the one on the that they could identify. Everybody else was in Nigeria or South Africa or
everybody else, you know, were the places. Actual scammers. Ian was
used
by those scammers just as much as the old people were. So it's actually kind of a ridiculous and sad situation of a victim really getting told to pay restitution to other victims. But hopefully he will win in the appeal.
Well, I thought about contacting some of the witnesses that testified against Ian, because Ian's not allowed to talk to them because there's a protective order.
Yeah.
Again, but I certainly can, because I would want to tell these people, "I'm so sorry you got scammed, but Ian Freeman didn't know that this was going on. And if he would, he wouldn't have participated. And we're happy to donate, as members of the Shire Free Church, 100 Bitcoin so that you can get your money back. Please don't do this again."
Right. The other thing about it is, like, it was so clear during the trial that Ian worked to help tons of people not get scammed. It was clear that he was trying to identify scams and stop them in the process. He worked with law enforcement at one point. He contacted an old lady's son, went out of his way to find this guy, contacted them and explained what was happening when he just saw red flags with his mother, and saved her $11,000. They're just, it's like the jury clearly just wanted to tell him he was, or say he was guilty. Clearly that's all that this was about.
I mean, and it's one of those things that if I was on the witness stand, I'd say, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, he didn't do it, and I can prove it." Because in all those emails they produced in court, they didn't show one email where he said, "Yeah, good job, Mr. Scammer, on scamming Mary Heard. I don't care if she got scammed. I want my 10% cut."
Yeah,
they obviously didn't show that he was inclusion with this.
If they could have shown one email between him and the scammer where the scammer said, I'm going to defraud this lady, and can you help me, and I'll give you a percentage of the cutback, then that would have been game over. Well, it was still game over because the jury convicted him. But I think he would have had a lot better chance if it's all the things we could have done differently. Like, instead of Mr. Heroin Dealer, you should have said, absolutely not. No, you may not use my Bitcoin ATM, Mr. Heroin Dealer.
Yeah. So if you suspect that somebody is a Fed trying to get you to do something bad, you should just tell them, I think you're a Fed. Like, unless you're in a dangerous situation where they may attack you, you should say, I think you're a Fed and I don't want to talk to you anymore. And if you're not a Fed, sorry, you need to stop acting like one. Because the thing Ian did was he wanted to string him along and see what he would keep doing. And that was probably his worst mistake.
That's probably his mistake. Yeah. And knowingly, of course, that was my language, because he asked me, like, what does the law say? And I said, well, you can't. This applies not just to Bitcoin. It's car salesmen or anybody who runs a business. If you knowingly accept the money that is proceeds of a specified unlawful activity, you don't have to know which specified unlawful activity it is. You just have to know or have reasonable cause to know that the money is tainted by unlawful activity. If you knowingly accept that, that is money laundering. 18 U.S.C. 1956 and 1957. So how many people know that? Like, you know, they're kind of like, if I was a car salesman, the guy said, hey, I'm a drug dealer, I want to pay $50,000 cash for a Mercedes or 10 Mercedes. And the sales guy's looking at the commission he could make, and all he has to do is turn a blind eye to that statement of, I'm a drug dealer. And, you know, so it's an easy way to, like, a lot of people can get in big trouble for money laundering if they accept funds that are tongue tainted.
Yep.
So.
And the other thing that is absolutely crazy about Ian's case is, even if you went up there and said, ladies and gentlemen, there's no email where he says, good job, Mr. Scammer. Well, they would just say, well, it doesn't matter, because all we have to prove is that he was willfully blind. And that just means that anyone in this situation would have started to realize that these people were getting scammed. So really, Ian got convicted on thought crime. Basically, the government was saying, we know what you were really thinking, whether or not you followed every law.
I don't know if Mr. Sisti brought this up, but, like, there were 6,000 legitimate Bitcoin transactions in Ian's local Bitcoin history, and about 40 of them were fraudulent. So that's a fraud rate of less than 1%. So, that's enviable from any credit card company if you can get a fraud rate of less than 1%. So I think he did a really good job. I would have pointed that out to the jury, that if he was running a scam, he would have catered nothing but scammers.
Thank you so much, TJ, for the call. I love hearing
from
you.
My pleasure.
603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. More coming up.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump is reportedly unhappy with the progress of jury selection in his criminal hush money trial in New York. Seven jurors have already been appointed, moving faster than anticipated by some legal experts. Trump expressed his frustration on social media, questioning the limited number of strikes during jury selection. Boeing facing allegations of concealing significant safety issues, as testified by their quality engineer and whistleblower Sam Salaport in a Senate hearing Wednesday.
I literally saw people jumping on the pieces of the airplane to get them to align. I call it the Tarzan effect, among other improper methods.
Salapour cautioned that Boeing's 787 Dreamliner is unsafe to fly due to assembly flaws. The NBA has banned a Toronto Raptors player for breaching the league's gambling regulations. An investigation revealed that Jonte Porter shared confidential information with sports bettors. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. Call in with whatever is on your mind. You can change the subject or bring up whatever you want to talk about or comment on what we're talking about. It's up to you. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny Liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
Riley.
And sticking with kind of the theme here of money and taxation in the United States, this is CNBC.com, says Costco selling as much as $200 million in gold bars monthly, Wells Fargo estimates.
When I saw that headline last week, you know, gold and silver had been going up in price. So when I bought silver back at the end of March, it was around $25 an ounce. Now it's up to almost $29 an ounce.
Oh, wow. Silver, you said?
Yeah. So, I mean, my investment's gone up a few bucks.
Yeah, already.
But when I saw this, I got really excited because Costco is promoting gold? This is exciting.
I always get shocked all the time by the things that get sold in Costco. Like, they actually have birth control. You can buy like a 3-pack at Costco over the counter.
Wow.
And it's really cool. It's like the real stuff, like Norarest. I don't know right now. Can't remember what it's Norestrogen. I don't know. But yeah, like regular birth control. I found that really weird. I don't go there or shop there. I don't even know if there's one near me. And I never really have shopped at Costco. But sometimes I'll see something like that on the internet and I'm like, whoa, that's weird. Or that they sell gold.
I was under the impression that you had to have a prescription to buy birth control.
Right? I thought so too. So I don't know what state that was in. Maybe I should have like looked more into it, but I saw like a picture of it and people talking about it on Twitter.
Interesting.
Like, that's crazy. But it was like more expensive. Everybody was saying like, oh, with my insurance, I don't pay like, I think it was like $70 for 3 months supply. I pay
less than that. Right, because we're all paying for your birth control.
Yeah. That's a good point. So I guess you can buy gold bars at Costco. It says gold has turned into money for Costco. What? Gold has turned into money? Okay, anyways. I guess money's a legal term, so I don't really care that much what they want to call it. But gold has turned into money for Costco, where yellow metal sales begun last year have turned into a cash cow for the big box retailer. In fact, sales are so brisk that analysts at Wells Fargo expect revenue may now be running at $100 million to $200 million a month, a rapid acceleration since bullion hit the warehouse club late in the summer of 2023.
The thing I find most exciting about this is that a lot of people are waking up to the fact that gold and silver are actually real money. And what's exciting about that is we have been lied to about the paper notes and the digits in our bank account. That's not real money. That's fake money. That's not sound money. Yeah, we have a digital representation of money as a cryptocurrency. We can exchange that around the world. But gold and silver have had value for centuries. And the reason why they have value is because they're useful. And Silver Dave has said that on this show. He said it's useful. It's useful for electronics and things like that. And people have found its use and value in societies, in major civilizations. So we treat it as money. And we value it as money because it's money.
Yep. And it's just nice for people to be able to just see it in the store too, because like honestly I don't think I've ever been just walking in a store and you walk past the potatoes and you walk past the razors for shaving your legs and then you walk past the gold bars, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think so too.
Usually I feel like you gotta get it online or buy it from a gold and silver shop, which I've never even been in one. You kind of gotta go out of your way to buy gold most of the time.
I've only been in one silver shop. Well, maybe two. I went to one briefly in St. George, and I've been at Silver Dave's shop.
I actually haven't been to Silver Dave's shop. It's local Silver Mint here in New Hampshire. Yeah. And I also misspoke on that day, and I keep forgetting to correct myself. Silver Dave is the only person who mints silver in the state of New Hampshire. I just meant that somebody I knew somebody that had a shop, but I accidentally said a mint. But yeah, New Hampshire... Silver Dave is the only person who mints his silver in New Hampshire. I guess I just didn't realize what that meant. I guess my brain was just thinking a silver mint means silver shop for some reason.
Yeah.
But apparently that means like actually making it into the shape and everything that you want.
I think he's made some cool stuff. Like,
me too.
A sterling silver sword? That's dope.
I thought it was pretty funny that Peakless Mountaineer was like, that is an inferior sword. Because technically it would be against something stronger, but
yeah.
It's just cool to have.
It is cool to have.
I don't think he's going to get into a sword fight anytime soon. So
yeah.
It's just a way to,
fine.
It's a way to conceal your wealth.
Sword. That was cracking me up. I actually kept quoting that night. But anyways, so the sword is more just like, it's only like a foot long too.
Yeah.
It's more for, I think he said 17 inches actually. It's more for, it's like a stacking tool. It's like something that somebody could have displayed on their wall or something like that. Instead of having all of your silver in
a safe or somewhere you can stack.
Yeah.
You can
or just like,
make a sword, you know, and put it on your wall.
Square blocks or circular and rounds, which are cool too.
I like what Silver Dave has done with silver, because instead of giving everyone in silver dimes or whatever that are somewhat percent silver, he's made a 1/10 ounce piece of silver.
Yeah, those rounds.
That we can hold in our hand and we can give it to people.
He gives away a lot too. It's
he
shocking
does.
Me.
Like, it shocks me
this?
Too. He's just giving away stuff. Like,
very valuable stuff.
If there's a God, I hope that God really blesses him.
Oh, yeah. I think he's blessed. He has a lot of friends and he lives in the free state of New Hampshire.
Yeah, I think so too.
So this person, Edward Kelly, an equity analyst at the bank. Why does it say at the bank?
Wells Fargo, because they were mentioned.
Oh, okay. The bank.
I was like, did I mention a bank yet? Okay.
The one bank.
Yeah. The one bank of the world. The bank.
He said on Tuesday, our work suggests there has been significant interests given Costco's aggressive pricing and high level of customer trust. What does aggressive pricing mean?
They probably have a bigger markup than other sellers.
Oh.
I don't know.
Or maybe a lower.
Necessarily a markup. I know with Costco, you get bulk items cheaper.
That's usually true. So what does that even mean, aggressive pricing?
They're aggressively trying to compete with the market price.
That's probably what it is, actually.
Awkwardly phrased.
Yeah, it is. It says the accelerating frequency of Reddit posts, quick online sellouts of product, and costs. It's just calling it cost. Cost company. That's why it's just calling it cost. All right. And costs. Robust monthly e-com sales suggests a sharp uptick in momentum since the launch. This is just kind of cracking me up, though, because I just saw, Idiocracy for the first time.
Hmm.
And, everybody's always quoting it to me. I was like, I know I have to see it. I know. So I finally watched it. It was so much funnier than I even, expected it to be. And one of the things is Costco is just this huge, as big as a city place, and it's all run down and gross. And when you walk in, the greeter is saying, like, welcome to Costco, I love you. Welcome to Costco, I love you.
In a monotone voice.
Yeah, everything
welcome
is just...
Welcome to Costco, I love you.
Everything is just kind of looked at in the most, the smallest, you know... what am I trying to say? Everything is just done, they have a church there called St. God's. Everything is just reduced and reduced and reduced to the dumbest a person could possibly be and still survive. So that's why when they walk in, it's like, you know, you're supposed to say something to make the people feel good. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Yeah.
So funny. And it just makes me think that one day Costco is going to be like the only thing all over the place. And only place you could go buy stuff. I hope that doesn't happen in the free state of New Hampshire, but I feel like tons of people would just be like, what? It's convenient. Everything is in one store. We don't have to have two stores.
Well, yeah, that's how Walmart and Amazon and all those. I think Walmart was, I don't know if they still are, but they were the number one employer in the country.
And, you know, I've always found this kind of an ironic and weird thing about communists is the fact that they're against, like, well, if there was a government... if there was, you know, no communism, then we'll have, like, government monopoly, or, you know, not government, but business monopolies and blah, 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 and they will not pay their workers enough. And all you are doing is creating a monopoly with a different name called the government. Yeah. So stupid.
It is stupid.
They just give businesses monopolies.
Yeah. That's exactly what they would do. If Costco was the only thing in the world, the only thing in the country, and the only thing... approved by the government to operate, and they got money from the government, and all the employees were paid government workers, it would be no different than if it was just called government store. No different. So, if Kelly's assessment is correct, that would represent quite a move for a product that only debuted last August and generated about $100 million in sales in Costco's fiscal first quarter that ended in late November 2023. Costco is selling 1 ounce bars made of nearly pure 24 karat gold. While the price is not disclosed online to non-members, it's estimated that the product generally sells for about 2% above the spot price. Well, that's kind of bad reporting. You couldn't even just get a Costco membership.
Right. Or just ask somebody you know with a Costco membership to go get some and tell you how much it was.
Seriously. It says it's estimated that the product generally sells for about 2% above the spot price, which as of Tuesday morning was around $2,357 an ounce. That would put the price at Costco just more than $2,400. Gold has been on a tear this year, with spot prices rising more than 13% in 2024, pushed higher by a persistent bout of inflation that started in 2022, and investor fear over the state of the deteriorating U.S. fiscal situation, which is why we should all do a bank run.
Is that what you're advocating for? A bank run to pull everyone's money out of the bank?
Yeah, not really advocating for it. Not that I'm against it. I'm just saying not really advocating for it, like trying to get it to happen anymore. Like me and Ian really wanted it to happen before when there was like a lot of news surrounding it, like seeming like it might actually happen. It says the government is on pace for a $2 trillion deficit this year, adding a total debt load that has surpassed $34.6 trillion. So what does that mean? That means that the government isn't even responsible with the money you give them. So we've been talking this whole show about all the money that people give to the government and how they take so much, you know, they take 34% of your life earnings, just about. And they can't even balance a, you know, a checkbook.
They got to go to the money printers and say, please, money printer man, can you bring us some money? We need to have some money.
No, it's them. They just say, oh, we'll just print it.
Yeah. And then they don't even pay their bills with it.
Yep. They don't even pay their bills with it. They're like, what else can we buy for ourselves?
Yeah.
So I think that this is really great news. I think it's just a really nice story. Almost like, oh, this is a heartwarming story to me. Not really that Costco is making the money. Like, I don't care. I just want gold, more gold in the hands of people.
More gold in the hands of people that want it. Like goldbacks. Yeah. Goldbacks are phenomenal.
I love goldbacks. What's a goldback, Riley?
So a goldback is a sheet of plastic that has gold embedded into it, pretty much. And they're really cool. Like, a couple weeks ago, we went out to a place for a meetup here in New Hampshire, and I tipped the server with a goldback.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was really cool.
We've tipped our delivery guy with goldbacks before, and they're like, what is this? And tell them about it.
Do they like it? They're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lady that Riley tipped a goldback to the other day, I was there, and she was like, wow, this is really cool. She said she'd gotten one, had it explained to her before, and she's like, wow, I really appreciate this. And I just came from New York City, too. Like, she's already, like, associating it with, like, freedom.
Yeah, and but we're going to do that. We got to keep doing that more, because we got to make these people rich with us.
I agree. And the other thing is, like, one thing Ian said once that I've been thinking about a lot since he said it was, he said, if Bitcoin was a thing when he first moved to New Hampshire, maybe he wouldn't have done the type of abrasive direct activism that he did. And I'm all for his abrasive direct activism, and I'm glad he did it. But he said that maybe he wouldn't have done that because he could have positioned himself in a bit of a better light if he had just went to people and explained Bitcoin with them and had them all become rich with him and, you know, advocated against the government in that way.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, you know, kind of a pain in some people's necks and being like, oh, you guys are so mean to the old lady who hit you with a stop sign. You know, all that old stuff that I don't know if you guys even know about, but the kind of stuff that Ian and his friends used to get into here, protesting and just doing activism.
You know, I'd love to bring some of that back, but we'll see what happens.
I'd love to bring some of that back, too. I don't really want to get arrested or anything.
I don't
it's a
either.
Bad time for me.
I don't want to do that to my girlfriend, Alana. I don't think she deserves that, so.
I just feel like it's a perfectly bad time for me. Like, Free Talk Live would be at risk. And then, like, I also am the only one really watching my dog Coconut right now. Instead of, like, normally I could just have Ian watch him. Just stuff like that. So, like, it's never a good time for someone to get arrested, honestly. Like, it's getting your life taken away from you for some certain amount of time. For Ian, it's 8 years. For other people, it might be like just a few days, but it's never good. It's never, like, you know, better than being productive out in the streets. In fact, it's just better for everybody that you know, even if they're just your neighbor, because it's better for the economy for you to be productive. It's so stupid that people get put into cages still. It's like so medieval. But anyways, that's all I really had to say about the gold story. I thought it was a nice, heartwarming story. This one's a little annoying. It says, student members of an unofficial club at New Jersey school are under investigation for alleged racism and harassment. So let's see, who's the bad guy here? I don't know. I haven't actually read this story. But it says, a South Jersey school district and local police are investigating incidents of racial bias among high school students. This includes the creation of the so-called White Student Union, a non-sanctioned club at Collingswood High School in Camden County. Students say kids in the club often racially harass other students. That's not nice. It says high school administrators also informed the district that the students engaged in unacceptable actions. But that's the thing I kind of want to know about. Like, is it just unacceptable to have a white kids club, or is it actually unacceptable actions? Says, it's been crazy in school probably since last year, said Kaimani Wharton. She says, racial incidents at Collingswood High School have reached a new level recently. I saw a lot of different things in school. It was like racial slurs, the ninth grader recalled. Members of the club reportedly call other students racial slurs. It's just one of the allegations now at the center of an investigation. The other thing is, like, it'd be so easy to just be like, I don't like that they have their white kids club. Like, I'm just going to claim that they call me a racial slur.
And even if they did, the fact that words are illegal is absurd.
It is. It's very absurd. And I
can't hurt you literally with my words. I can say any words at you and you will not be injured.
Yeah.
I wonder.
They can.
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead. Okay. I wonder if this has some connection to the fact that these kids have been locked up in their homes for a year or so.
Hmm. Yeah, antisocial behavior.
And now they're becoming antisocial because they got to spend some time on the interwebs.
Well, maybe they're just bad people, too.
Mm-hmm. That's entirely possible.
They could just be bad people, and that's fine. Bad people exist.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, I don't think it's right to hit someone over calling you a mean name. But honestly, I just feel like instead of, like, going to the cops, like, why don't you do something about it? Like, if somebody's calling you a racial slur, like, you know, beat them up. They kind of deserve it. Yeah. Like, I mean, like... I don't literally think that's self-defense or anything like that, but like it's just like people need to learn to get along together, and sometimes that involves like when someone's being annoying. Like, I'm so happy I had siblings, for example.
Oh, I
because
agree.
Because instead of like going to school and being like, what, I can say whatever I want and then getting beat up in school, like I just learned that from my siblings. Like, oh, don't do this annoying behavior. I see that annoys people. You know?
And this is what siblings do, is they socialize you in a way that helps you deal with the real world, or right. potentially deal with the real world.
Mm-hmm. So here's my thing, is these people are terrible, obviously,
mm-hmm.
using racial slurs or calling someone names or whatever.
Yeah, if it's true.
Means you're a bad person, right? And so why do you care what bad people say to you? Why do you care their opinion of you? Just be like, cool.
Yeah.
Bye.
That's a good point.
Just don't care.
And just like, you know, don't associate with them. And like most people will probably not associate with them. And they'll find their own consequences that way. And then they'll be sorry. So it doesn't necessarily have to be beating them up. It's just that I feel like that's probably what's going to happen. But it's just even lamer if you're just like, I'm not even going to beat you up. I'm going to go tell the teacher. And you're in high school. It says, it's bothersome. Okay, so wait. No, I missed something. It says, the Camden County Prosecutor's Office confirmed it is working with the Collingswood Police Department on an investigation into the alleged racial incidents. And honestly, you are actually threatening people's lives a lot more if you're bringing cops into the school than if you just beat them up. It's bothersome, especially this day and age, to think that it's still going on and the stuff kids have to deal with, said Kiana Wharton, Kaimani's mother. Collingswood school officials say they cannot discuss the details of the incident as the investigation is ongoing, but Superintendent Fred McDowell sent a letter to the school community. He addressed a racial bias incident that reportedly took place before spring break. And the other thing is, like, racial bias incident, like, that's an incident. Like, people should be allowed to have racial biases.
They
even
should
if it,
be allowed to, yes. Even
any bias you want.
Yeah.
Even if
I don't like the idea of a racial bias, but you should be allowed to have a racial bias.
It's a racial bias incident. You're just not allowed to do that if you're in public school. The letter read in part, I am deeply troubled by the allegations. We remain deeply committed to dismantling racism in all its forms and providing equal access to an education that will empower all students. Meanwhile, students say racism is an ongoing issue at the school. I kind of want to hear, like, are they going to interview the white kid club people? Like, are they saying we're not doing that? I want to know the other side.
Yeah, I want to know the other side, too. This isn't journalism. It's just reporting on how hurt somebody is.
Right. And this is from 6abc.com, by the way. It says, meanwhile, students say racism is an ongoing issue at the high school. Last year, kids organized a peaceful protest, which led to changes in the district's process of reporting discrimination. Parents are saying they want to see the district take action in this case.
I still don't understand. What is the discrimination that's happening?
Right. I really want to know.
Calling somebody a name isn't discrimination.
Right.
Having a club. I guess, but I mean,
well,
I'm sure
if you
that
don't
there
let other people in, because there's always like Japanese clubs in school.
Yeah, I'm sure
like,
there are other
white
clubs
kids can be in it
that certain people aren't allowed in.
Yeah, well, that's a good point because there's like boys clubs, girl clubs.
That's discrimination.
Technically, is because discrimination doesn't always mean just like beating someone up for being a different color. Sometimes it means like I am discriminating against all the other clothes in my closet because I want to use this one. It's like literally just a word.
Yeah, we discriminate every day.
Yep.
I think they should crack down on it. I think because there's no consequences for the students when they do certain things, that it's going to continue on. So I think they should crack down and there should be consequences, said Wharton. And it's just like there's no consequences when they do what certain things, because I'm sure there are literally consequences if they're like using the N-word in front of a teacher.
Yeah.
They were literally going to get sent to like ISS or detention or something. The district will not discuss what specific actions those students in the white student union may face. It is also unclear at this time how many students are involved in the unofficial club. And the other thing is, if it's an unofficial club, like, it's just kids having groups within them themselves. Like,
how dare you?
They should be allowed to do that, and the government shouldn't have anything to do with it. The superintendent's letter did state that any student who violates the district's code of conduct or the harassment, intimidation, and bullying policies will be disciplined appropriately. Wow.
So this code of conduct applies outside of school hours?
Right.
So like they own your child's time when they're not at school?
Well, they already give them homework and stuff like that, so they kind of act like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that you get graded and you can potentially not pass your classes just because you didn't do homework.
They can just hold you after school outside of the contracted time that you agreed to be there.
Yeah, that's so true. That happens all the time.
Maybe you should just not send your kids to public schools, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally just torture. In fact, like, you're more likely to just, like, hate the other people you're in there with for just, like, the fact that you're all in a prison together. And you're probably a lot less likely to be hateful towards each other if you're not forced to be in this prison together.
Yeah.
I had this conversation with a friend of mine that went to high school with me, and he was saying, like, honestly, I think back to all the people I was mean to and rude to, and it's just, like, the hormones at that age and, like, the stress of, like, having to be in public school is like so bad. He's like, I think back and I'm like, I don't even hate any of those people that I used to be like, I hate them.
And do you think that to become a productive adult human being, you need to spend 18 years of your life, 8 hours a day, every single day in this place that's teaching you these things in an inappropriate way? It's not even effective.
No.
They don't teach you skills.
Right. And a lot of times they don't even teach you reading and writing and math. I see some terrible English skills on the internet every day. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.